The book of Acts. Now, Acts is a transitional book. We don't take much doctrine. You can't establish doctrine out of the book of Acts. Somebody rightly said that Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And it's not a record of the beginning of the body of Christ or anything like that. It's more to show the transition and the fall of Israel. But I was thinking about when Robbie was up here teaching. And what if, you see, when Jesus Christ was back there on the cross, or I'll just go back here and put in Matthew, and through John, you have the ministry of Christ, the earthly ministry. What is he back there? Well, he's the Messiah, isn't he? He's the King of Israel. And in that message there, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, they reject him and they nail him to a cross. And so, back here, the kingdom was at hand. And they reject the king. They said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. And so Pilate even recognized the fact of who he put up on the cross. The King of Jews. And so they take him down, they bury him, and God raised him up the third day. And there are 12 men that are preaching in the book of Acts, and he had trained 12 men. And those 12 men will sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, tell me something. In Acts chapter 3, before we go to Acts, look in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter gives Israel another opportunity. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Forgive who? Israel. They're the ones that delivered him over to Pilate. They're the ones that said, crucify. Pilate gets a bowl, basin of water, and goes out there and washes his hands and said, I am clean from this man's blood. And what do they say? His blood be upon us. Crucify him. Crucify him. He said, but I find no fault in him. Pilate thought, well, I'm going to release a prisoner. Which do you want me to release? Barabbas. Barabbas was a murdering, thieving scoundrel that represents every sinner on the planet today, and you included. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Why? There's what fault? They nail him to the cross. Peter. And on that cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Did God forgive them? He gave them another opportunity. In Acts chapter 2, and look in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye, talking to Israel, delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he, Pilate, was determined to let him go. But ye, Israel, denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, Barabbas, and killed the Prince of Life, Christ, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, the one he healed in verses 1 and 2 up there, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, they saw the miracle, and God give them a sign. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it. Did what? Crucify the Lord. And did, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Tell me something. Did Christ fulfill all the prophecy? Every one of them. There was not an Old Testament prophecy of his death, of his suffering, of his life that he didn't fulfill. People, they talk about the lost years of Christ from the time of 12 on to 30. Folks, they're not lost. He wasn't fulfilling prophecy by in them time. And God didn't have no prophecy concerning those years. And you don't have no record of it. You have a record of him fulfilling prophecy. And that prophecy being fulfilled is the sign that he is who he said he was. Amen. Now, repent. Change your mind about him. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When would they get their sins blotted out? Times of refreshings, and he'll send Jesus. That's second coming of Christ. Now, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So everything is said. No prophecy needed to be fulfilled. Tell me something. What if Christ had been accepted by Israel and their rulers in Acts chapter 3? What would have happened? He's given them an opportunity to repent, is he not? What if Israel had repented in Acts chapter 3? What would have took place? Look back in Acts chapter 2. It's important you get this. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that... because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Now look on, come over down with me, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And folks, look down in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And it was about 3,000 men. Now folks, he's given Israel a chance to repent. But wait a minute. Look back in the other part of the chapter. Look in verse 4. And they were all filled, day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on down with me to verse, they began to wonder in verse 8, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And he lists all the different tongues there, the nationality. Now, my personal belief on that is different from anybody I've heard or read. I believe the miracle on Pentecost was Peter and them would preach in Hebrew or Arabic, whatever language they used, and if there was a German Jew out there, he heard them speak in German. I don't believe that you had one apostle speaking one language and another one speaking another one and another one speaking another one. No, I don't believe that. I believe they spoke Hebrew or Arabic, whatever the language was of that day, and the men heard it in their own language. And they said, how is that possible? And then others mocked them. Look in verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These are a bunch of drunks up there. Now Peter didn't deny that they was drunks. Look what he said. But Peter, standing up with the 11 iron, with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's too early in the morning for this. Look what he said. But this is that which was spoken by Joel, or by the prophet Joel. Is the day of Pentecost fulfilling prophecy? And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Come down with me, verse 19. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Whosoever shall come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Come on, a little light from the class. Why would they want to call upon the Lord? Saved from the wrath of the day of the Lord. It's a common. What if Israel had accepted the Messiah, believed, turned to God, and God would have saved them? What would have been the next thing? Come on, don't be afraid. I'm not setting you up. I'm not trying to trick you. I promise you I'm not. I want you to see this. People, it would have been the tribulation. In other words, it would have started the day of the Lord. And at the end of that day, the Lord would have come by. In other words, there wouldn't have been no dispensation of grace in there. If Israel had trusted and believed and turned to the Lord, they would have went right on into the day of the Lord like they thought they was going to, and all prophecy would have been fulfilled. Right? Tell me something. Where's the body of Christ at? Now, people say the body of Christ began in Acts chapter 2. Is that not what they say? How can it begin in Acts chapter 2 had Israel trusted Christ, turned to Christ, their Messiah, repented, national Israel, national repentance, prophecy would have been fulfilled, prophecy would have continued. Folks, it didn't start the body of Christ, don't y'all see? It either began there or it didn't. It ain't an afterthought. Oh, they're not going to accept my son, so I'll start the body of Christ. People say, well, it began in Acts. You know why? They want that 12 in that body. Why? Because they want what the 12's got. Why? I don't know. The 12 didn't have eternal security as you have. The 12, I mean, he that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know how they got eternal life? By being martyred. And you know them guys? They did. They got slaughtered. I'm just trying to get you to see that if God had Israel nationally repented, prophecy would have kept on. Acts chapter 2 wouldn't have never changed. It'd still been the day of Pentecost. Peter had still been preaching. And if they went right on into the tribulation, there wouldn't have been nothing changed. Why do they want the body? But God did do it, and I thought Robbie brought it out real good on that illustration. He pushed the pause button. And we're in what is called the dispensation of grace. Now I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26. And I want you to look at something. Something is on my heart. In Acts chapter 26. And this goes right along. So the trib, the sun ain't never been turned to darkness or the moon to blood that I know of, and the heavens, they're not shaking now. It will. And prophecy will begin. You see, folks, to rightly divide your Bible is to distinguish between prophecy and mystery. Simple as that. Two big divisions. It's not between the New Testament and Old Testament. It's between prophecy and mystery. Prophecy is something that God foretold through the prophets thousands of years before it came to pass. Mystery, something He kept secret in Himself. He never wrote it down. He never had nobody to say anything about it. Nobody knew about it until He revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Now watch it. Acts 26, Paul is before Agrippa. And he's up there, and old Festus has got him up there, got Agrippa. And notice what happened. He's given his testimony, verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise, now here's my verse, arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now here's the purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto you. There are two things in that verse. These things and those things that make up the mystery. These things and those things. Now what are these things? Well, what did he see? Well, look what he said. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. So if I look at these things as simple, God revealed unto Paul, and he shines out brighter than the noonday sun in Acts chapter 9. And I'll just put 9 up there. And strikes him down. There are two things that the Lord told him. These things. Well, what is these things? Well, he said, these things that thou hast seen. What did he see? Or who did he see? Resurrection, did he not? Look in Galatians chapter 1. Did he realize Christ had died? Do you know what Paul, God revealed to Paul on the road to Damascus? He revealed to him the gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That has to be in Acts chapter 9. That comes under these things that thou hast seen. He said there in verse 12, For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye've heard in my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers, of their religion. He taught them the resurrection, that Jesus Christ was alive. He's saying he realized that the Christ that he was talking about, he tried to do many things contrary to that name, he said. It was a lie. He realized that he arose from the dead. He realized that that was his salvation. He's revealed the gospel to him. No doubt in my mind, Christ has preached the gospel to him. These things. Well, some people don't even believe in the resurrection. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Folks, we don't have a dead Savior. Other religions has dead Saviors. You go to Buddha's grave and you'll find bones in it. This is a Buddha. You go to Muhammad, you're going to find his bones somewhere. He's buried somewhere. None of them rose from the dead. Our Savior lives. And he's alive today. Paul realized that. The resurrection is the proof that who he said he was, he was. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, believe without a cause. You know what the number one cause of believing that Christ died for you? I'm lost. I'm a sinner. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Oh, where did he receive it? He received it somewhere, didn't he? It had to be in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. People say, well, there's no record of that. Well, he just put it in record right there. Do you know there are things that spoken word that you don't have wrote down? For instance, Jude talks about coming with 10,000 of his saints and all that. Nowhere else in the Scripture. Where did he get it? I mean, there are a lot of things like that. Just because you can't find where Jesus Christ appeared unto 500 at one time don't mean that he didn't. Paul just told you he did. Verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. Also, as one born out of due time. For I am least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Come down to verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, the apostles, those that are up there. So we preach the resurrection. And so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? They had some Sadducees in this congregation that didn't believe in the resurrection. We got men today, it's in pulpits across this country, that do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you cannot be saved if you don't believe in the resurrection. Why would you call upon the Lord that you don't believe rose from the dead? We have men that don't believe in the virgin birth. It's a shame. Paul, the Lord said, I'll appear unto thee, which things I'll appear, these things, the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then there's no payment of sin. Look in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There is no afterlife. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, you have no hope today. You have no Savior today. And there is no hope for anybody. When Christ appeared to the apostle Paul, he preached unto him these things, the resurrection, the gospel. And that's why he said, it's my gospel. And I know in whom I have committed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you believe that? You find the gospel of Christ. You can't have a resurrection without the death and burial. Preaching these things reveals the Son of God in us. Look in Galatians 1:16. When we preach this, when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel and say we're saved and because of what Christ did. Look in verse 17, Galatians 1 or 16. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, Peter, James, and John. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Paul's saying God reveals His Son through him. How? Through this gospel. Look down in verse, then it says, then 14 years, at verse 1, chapter 2, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Why did he go up there 14 years? Well, you know, folks, according to our timetable in Acts, Jesus Christ dies in A.D. 33, right? Right? Ain't that what he said? He gets saved. And 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And then after 14 years, well, if I got three, I got four, what's that, 17 years? And if I make 33 and add 17 to it, what does that give me? Do you know what happens in 50 years? In Jewish time, it's the year of Jubilee. 50 years. What? The land goes back to the original owners. They sold their houses, their lands, and everything. They gave up everything. Why? Because in the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, it all goes back to them. They get it all back. That was when the Lord and so was to come. And so it's almost like Paul goes up after the year of Jubilee and says, I want to tell you why it's not happening. And I want to tell you, and I'm going to take you up an offering and give y'all an offering to help y'all, the poor saints at Jerusalem. Why? Because they gave up their lands and everything. They were looking for the Lord. I know Peter even writes, he said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. He's going to come, but counted as the long suffering of God, even as our beloved Paul has wrote unto you and told you why the Lord hadn't come back. Why hadn't the Lord come back? Because He's doing something that's not according to prophecy. Why can't people see this? Paul had these things, the resurrection, the gospel. Now look at the back in our text, and I don't have time to dwell on. I hope this maybe you studied some of this out. In Acts 26, he says, and notice what he says. Arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, a servant, a witness, both of these things, the gospel, the resurrection, which thou hast seen, and of those things in which the which I will appear unto thee. Well, I know what these things are, but what about those things that I will appear unto you? People don't even know what they are. Well, number one, it's the formation of a new body. It's not a nation he's forming. He's forming a body. And God revealed that through the Apostle Paul. It's also, look over in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Those things that I will appear unto thee. In Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation, the administration of the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So I got right here those things. These things that was revealed to him in the Acts 9. The gospel. The resurrection. Those things that he's going to reveal to him after Acts 9. He goes into Arabia for 3 years. And he's out there with the Lord, just like Moses went up on the mountain. I mean, Paul goes out there, and out there he finds the mystery out here. What God is doing now. He's not building a kingdom. He's not advancing the kingdom, Paul. What am I doing, Paul? I'm started a mystery program. There's something that I've kept secret in me since before the foundation of the world. What is that, Lord? I'm going to save Gentiles and Jews alike by my grace without them doing anything. That's why I died for them like I did. I never heard that. It wasn't no mystery that God would save Gentiles. He prophesied he'd save Gentiles through the ministry of Israel. But it was a mystery that he would save Gentiles that had no dealings with Israel. You didn't have to bless the Jew to get saved. But they will. So this was made known unto him. The dispensation of the grace. Look back with me again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 50. So we have here a mystery. That mystery is the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. I don't have time to go through all of this. Y'all know this, but when that body's full, here's another thing that was revealed to Paul. He said in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do a corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a what? A mystery, a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And he goes on down in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is a change. There is a mystery. What is that mystery? That's he's going to deliver this church, this body, out of this present evil world. A mystery. The rapture of the church is not according to prophecy. You can't find it in prophecy, so stop looking for it in Matthew 24. It's not there. It was a secret. It was a mystery, and not revealed unto the Apostle Paul. Those things. Then you have, we're saved from the wrath. That wrath that's coming out there, that Israel thought we was going. Look in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to close. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. From wrath through Him. Saved from wrath. 1 Thessalonians. Folks, I don't worry about going through the wrath of God. Why? Jesus Christ done bore the wrath of God for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, talking about to serve the living and true God, verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation from that wrath, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we're saved from that wrath. But wait a minute. For a close, turn back to Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. See what prophecy says about it. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, shall be saved from it. Oh, he shall be saved what? Out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke, that's the yoke of the Antichrist, from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves in him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. There's a proof text. David's going to be resurrected, set upon the throne, and the Lord's going to reign over Israel through his servant David. Over and over you find that. And we're going to reign with him out there in the heavens, far above all heavens. And David will reign over on this earth, and the 12 will sit upon 12 thrones, and they'll be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And David, the king of Israel, will be back on the throne, resurrected. They're going to go through. One other passage, look in Isaiah. Flip over to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Folks, when Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, he's talking about, you've got to make the division between prophecy and mystery. That mystery was revealed, those things of the mystery was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and God told him, he didn't get it on the road to Damascus. He got the gospel, he got the resurrection, but those things that I will appear unto you, And then you'll find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, above 14 years ago, I knew a man, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, and because of the abundance of the revelations, they were given to me a thorn in the flesh. Folks, somewhere around Acts 13, Paul gets killed, and he experiences all of this and has revelations, and he raises him up. They left him for dead out there. And I believe that's when he's called up into the third heaven and he heard things that's unlawful for him to speak. But he wrote them down for you in Romans through Philemon. Look in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger. Now that Assyrian is the Antichrist. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take a spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like a mire of the streets. Now folks, the body of Christ is not a nation. Amen. The Assyrian, the rod of my anger, I will send him against the hypocritical nation, is the apostate Israel that's over there today. And the Antichrist is going to be God's rod, and he's going to beat them in submission. And Elijah is going to appear on the scene and restore and begin to preach what John the Baptist preached. And he's going to bring and people for the Lord, gather them together, and there's going to be a part of them that's going to believe, and they're going to be killed, martyred, whatever, and the thing's going, and it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble, but he'll be saved out of it. But God has not appointed you under wrath. You're not a nation. He's not bringing the Antichrist against you, the body of Christ. If he brought it against the body of Christ, he'd be bringing it against himself. It's like me, folks. If I got mad at Winston, I'm not going to kick my shin. I'm not going to bring pain against me. If he brings his wrath on the body of Christ, he's bringing his wrath on himself. Don't you see? We're one with Christ. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And just as you feel for your body, he feels for his. These things, the mystery, the dispensation, those things, the dispensation of grace, the rapture, saved from the wrath, everything that's not prophecy. Can't you imagine why Paul got a thorn in the flesh? Would you not get the big head if you knew all of that? While we start rightly dividing, we get blowed up. Knowledge puffeth up. We think we know everything. The Lord has to calm us down. And by the way, I didn't get a chance to get to it, but do you know why people today don't see the Word of God rightly divided? The same reason that the Corinthians didn't see it. I might get into that next week, but I'm tired. My back's hurting like Kim's.